Well, tonight's message is centered around healing, but it can really apply to any situation or issue that you may be facing. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about Jesus the healer, and also being determined to get what belongs to you. Being determined to get what belongs to you. So it's important for us to understand that once we got born again, we automatically received several additional blessings along with our eternal life, along with our sins being forgiven and our ticket to heaven. But that wasn't the end of it. We received righteousness and justification and sanctification and protection and prosperity, deliverance and healing. These are just some of the things that salvation brought for us. And much of what we received in salvation can only be utilized here on earth. I don't need healing when I get to heaven. There's no sickness and disease there. So a major factor in receiving your healing is simply to decide that it belongs to you. Are you not going to do without it? That's what you have to make that decision. It belongs to you and you are not going to do without it. So we know that healing is a covenant promise. We have a covenant right to our healing, and we need to experience our healing. It's one thing to teach about healing and hear about it, read about it, but in the body of Christ, we need to experience it. You can say things like, it is mine, and I have it now. It belongs to me. We need to also remember it's a gift. And anytime you have a gift, you have to receive it just as you would any other gift. You have to receive it. And when we look at, it's in Mark 11:24, it says, and when we pray, believe that we receive. That word receive means to take. So if somebody's standing in front of me and they have a gift for me, my responsibility is to take it. Amen? So if I'm believing and I want to receive that, I need to put my effort into it, which is to take it. All right? So when Apostle Mike was here, when Mike Keyes was here, he spoke about RLCC having a healing center, and I believe that with all my heart. I really do. So tonight's message, the title is, Jesus Christ Heals You. Jesus Christ Heals You. I'm not sure if we're going to have a part two to this, but Jesus Christ heals you. We were trained by our pastors to not only believe the gospel for ourselves, but to lay hands on the sick and believe for healing for others. And I will speak to attaining our individual healing for ourselves as well as ministering to believe for others. Let's start off by turning to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to read it from the New Living. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 in the New Living. And I know that there's some people who are listening tonight that you've been waiting for the total manifestation of your healing for, in some cases, for years. And I want you to just put your antennas up because I believe this message will help. Malachi 4, verse 2 in the New Living. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. The prophet Malachi is looking to the future. The Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. And he's looking to down the road that he's going to bring healing. And when he does, we are going to be leaping with joy. We are to receive his promise that the Son of Righteousness will arise over you with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness, as I said, is Jesus Christ. And he came and he brought with him healing. He also says, you who fear my name. We are to fear God, a reverential fear of God. But we are not to fear man. We are not to fear man. We are not to fear sickness. And we are not to fear an evil report or the devil. And there's some people that as soon as the word cancer is heard coming from a doctor, their fear level rises. And it shouldn't. Because whatever you fear, you give honor to. We're to fear God, period. He's the one that should get the honor. Psalm 107, let's turn there quickly. Psalm 107:20. I'm reading it from the New King James. Familiar scripture. Psalm 107:20, it says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent his word, all right? So Jesus was the word made flesh, the word that healed them, and the same word that will heal us today. Listen to it in the Passion. It says, "God spoke the words, be healed, and we were healed, delivered from death's door." So as we look at the word tonight, I want you to ask yourself this question. How bad do I want my healing? How bad do I want my healing? I ask you that. How bad do you want your healing? Let's go to Mark 10. We're going to read verses 46 to 52. How bad do you want your healing? We're reading this, Mark 10, 46 to 52 in the New King James. And this is the story of blind Bartimaeus getting healed. It says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." So he wasn't the only one there. There was a great multitude. And when he, blind Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now remember, the woman with the issue of blood, she also heard about Jesus. So the people during the time of Jesus' ministry, word had gone out over the area about this man that healed. Verse 48, "Then many warned him to be quiet." He's crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." But he cried out all the more when they're telling him, "Be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me." Okay, do you think by the fact that he kept crying out and ignored the people, he was determined to get his healing? I think he was. Verse 49, "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called." So now all the people are like, "Oh, okay." Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Jesus will always stop at the cry of faith. Let me say that again. Jesus will always stop at the cry of faith. Verse 50, "Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus." Now, this is important because many of you probably know this, but he was wearing the beggar's garment. Bartimaeus cast aside his beggar's garment, and it shows that he was willing to leave his blindness behind. He left his comfort zone and believed by faith that he wasn't going to need it. He stepped out. It's gone. The garment was gone. Verse 51, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Now in the King James Version, verse 52 simply says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." In the New King James, it says, "Your faith has made you well." That word "whole" is sozo, and that's often used when we talk about salvation. It means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, save, do well, be or make whole. So Bartimaeus wasn't just healed from the blindness. He was saved spiritually and now has eternal life. Once Bartimaeus had his healing, he had his life back, and he also had sozo, or eternal life. Everything changed, and when Jesus makes you whole, you have everything you need to live victoriously here on earth. Wholeness is what Jesus always wants to do, make us whole. Now, listen to this. Okay, the power in Jesus Christ opened the blind eyes of Bartimaeus, but it was the faith of Bartimaeus that activated that power. I'm going to say it again. The power in Jesus Christ opened the eyes, the blind eyes of Bartimaeus, but it was the faith of Bartimaeus that activated that power. So, personal application for yourself as you're listening. It's the same thing. Your faith activates the healing power of God to operate in your body. Your faith is going to activate the healing power of God to operate in your body. Have you ever heard the phrase, this is from some years back, it's like, keep the switch of faith turned on, all right? We have to live that way. Our lifestyle, all the just are supposed to live by faith. That should be our lifestyle. So when you need healing, it is so important that you decide to do something about it. Just like Bartimaeus, he yelled out, he went out after Jesus Christ, he threw off his garment. So when you decide to call on Jesus, it will profoundly affect the rest of your life. Jesus moves in specifics. He asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He came right out specifically that I receive my sight. Let's turn to Luke 5, verse 17. We're going to read there another story, healing on healing. Luke 5, 17. And I'm reading it first from the New King James Version. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Keep that in mind. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20. When he saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Remember now, they weren't accepting him as the Son of God, the Messiah. Verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Glorifying God. Praise the Lord. Healing will always give God the glory. So back at verse 17, the power was present to heal, and Jesus heals the paralyzed man. But why weren't other people around them also healed? It was their faith that activated the power in Jesus to do the healing. It was their faith. Jesus saw it. He recognized it. Okay? The other people, they didn't have faith, obviously, to activate that power in Jesus. So the paralyzed man obeyed Jesus and did what he told him to do. He plugged into the power of God with his faith. He plugged into this power, just like Bartimaeus. The power was there. Jesus healed the eyes, opened the blind eyes, but it was the faith of Bartimaeus that activated it. Same thing here. The paralyzed man obeyed Jesus. He told him what to do, and he plugged into that power with his faith. Our faith moves the Lord. We know that. We've heard things about how God is looking for the people with the faith. Faith without works is dead. We know that. Faith without works is dead. Jesus has already provided healing for us. It's when we move to take advantage of what he has already done that his mighty power goes into operation. The Holy Spirit is here all the time. The Holy Spirit's here to heal all the time, but we need to activate that healing with our faith. Let's go to Acts 10:38. I'm going to read it in the New King James first. Acts 10:38. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, emphasize that, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppressed by who? The devil, for God was with him. Notice here that we see that Satan is the cause of sickness. Who were oppressed by the devil? The oppression, the sickness came from the devil. Now, that word healing there, where it says healing all, is the Greek word eaomi. It also means doctor, to cure, make whole. They began to amend from that point forward and got better. So the moment someone was touched, hands laid on them, spoken to, ministered to, prayed for healing, the process began. So the moment that Jesus touches us today, we begin to amend and get better. The moment it happens, it starts. Listen to that in the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed him. Okay, now, great power was present, divinely healed all, for God had anointed him. Jesus' ability to heal came because he was a man operating with the same anointing that you and I have, and not his position as the Son of God. It had to be that way because God needed us, after Jesus left, to do the same work. It had to be that way. It had to be him as a man, not operating as the Son of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And I'm going to read that in the King James Version. Isaiah 10, 27. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke that was on people that caused them to be in bondage was destroyed by Jesus because of the anointing that he had. Amen. The anointing is the power of God activated when one believes and exercises their faith. Let me say that again. The anointing is the power of God activated when one believes and exercises faith. Let's turn to 1 John 2:27. I'm going to read that from the Voice Translation. 1 John 2:27. And it says, you have an anointing. You have an anointing. You received it from him, and his anointing remains on you. I'm going to read it and say, I'm reading it from up there, the voice, but it sounds different. Okay, you received it from him and his anointing remains on you. You do not need any other teacher, but that's not talking about the fivefold ministry teaching, but as his anointing instructs you in all essentials, all the truth uncontaminated by darkness and lies, it teaches you this, remain connected to him. Amen. So you have an anointing. We do, all of us, the body of Christ, the moment we got born again, we got this anointing. Healing and deliverance came because of the anointing. We have it. We have to put our faith into action if we want that anointing to flow. So let's turn to Romans 8:11. I'm going to read that in the New King James to start with. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now let's park here for a second. The spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your body, this body that we are in right now. It will give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If there is deadness in a part of your body, the potential for life to be given to it is there. Based on this scripture, it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It dwells in you, and it has the power to give life to a dead body part. All right? So if what part or parts of your body are dead and need life? Listen to that in the same scripture, Romans 8:11 in the Voice. If the spirit of one who resurrected Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, and it does, then you can be sure that he who raised him will cast the light of life into your mortal bodies through the life-giving power of the spirit residing in you. Listen to it in the Passion. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit. He will raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. We need to get the revelation that this power is in every Christian. And it's not if it's in you, it's because it is in us. Because that same spirit lives in you and me, then we can realize, accept, believe, and trust that it will put life into anything in our body that is dead. And you can even say this, there's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. There's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Just a little side note here that I've seen along the way, and that is, do not get used to living with your symptoms. Don't get used to living with your symptoms. There's a fine line where we will tolerate the symptoms and end up accepting the condition. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get just, you know, discouraged, give up, all right, and then accept. Well, I guess I have to live with this. No, you don't. No, you don't. Do not get used to living with your symptoms. Do not tolerate the symptoms and end up accepting the condition. The devil's going to try to wear you down and move you from believing to going into doubt, in and out of believing and in and out of doubt, and then into total unbelief if you let him. Now, we're going to turn to Acts 9. We're going to look at this because there's several things in this here in Acts 9. The other scriptures that we looked at were while Jesus was here, okay? So Jesus now has been crucified. Now he's resurrected, gone to heaven, and now we're going to look at the disciples, and we're going to look at Peter. Acts 9, and I'm going to read it from the New King James, and it's verses 32 to 35. And it says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed." 8 years and was paralyzed. Remember, we saw what happened with the paralyzed man that was lowered through the roof, okay? Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Let's kind of tear this apart a little bit here, okay? First of all, evangelism will always follow the demonstration of God's kingdom power. Always. Healing is the children's bread. If you've ever gone on a mission trip and you have, say, several nights where you're going to be ministering, the first day out, when people start to see the healings that are occurring, they come back the next day in droves and they're bringing everybody with them. So here we have one healing that caused two areas, two towns, Lydda and Sharon, to come to Christ. So healing is a great evangelist tool. Now, notice that Peter found Aeneas, all right? Peter was carrying out the Great Commission by going into all the world. We don't see anywhere that he preached the gospel or laid hands on Aeneas. He simply made a declaration and gave an order. He saw Jesus do that, and he followed suit. We can do the same thing. If you determine that you see somebody with faith, make a declaration and give them something to do. So Peter saw Jesus in the whole 3 years of ministry doing this. He even saw him raise the dead. And that's what we will be doing, should be doing. So he was bold enough to do the same. And you and I have the same great commission. Now, verse 34 in this Acts 9, okay, verse 34 in the King James, it says, "And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." Notice that the timing in these healings, these individuals responded immediately. Bartimaeus, immediately, the healing happened immediately. He did his things immediately. The paralyzed man lowered through the roof, arose immediately. Okay? Now, other translations use the word heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. That word whole in the Greek means, it's a verb, it means to cure, literally or figuratively, means to heal or make whole. The same word that was used in Acts 10:38. Okay? So again, the desire of Jesus was to make a person whole. Peter's doing the same thing. So this individual, he may have already been saved because Peter was going around meeting with the Christians. We'll see that here in the next one. Now in the voice, let's read the same thing in the voice, starting at verse 32. Peter hadn't been idle during all this time. He was having a number of amazing experiences of his own, traveling from group to group and visiting the various communities of believers. Okay, so it's very possible Aeneas may have been a believer. Once he came to a town called Lydda, a border town between Samaria and Judea, and met with God's special people there. He visited a man named Aeneas. This poor fellow had been paralyzed for 8 years, unable to leave his bed. Peter says, "Aeneas, Jesus the Anointed heals you. Jesus the Anointed heals you. Get up. Now you can make your own bed." And immediately he got up. All the local residents, both of Lydda and nearby Sharon, saw Aeneas healthy and strong again, so they turned to the Lord. By the Holy Spirit, I believe that there's some people out there that have been dealing with paralysis for years. Jesus Christ heals you. And you can say, "Jesus Christ heals me." It may not be paralysis, but there's people that have been for years living with these symptoms. But Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. And I believe we're going to get some praise reports because I know that it has triggered your faith to believe. Some people get used to having others make their bed for them. And we saw that here. It says, he says to him, "Get up now, you can make your own bed." Isn't that wonderful? You can make your own bed instead of having somebody else do it for you. But there are some people that like the idea of somebody else making the bed for them. But Jesus Christ heals you. He healed Aeneas then, and he can heal you now. You just simply keep saying that, "Jesus Christ heals me. Jesus Christ heals me. Heals me, heals you, is present tense. Not off in the future, it's here and now. In the Amplified Classic, I'm reading the same thing, verse 32. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he went down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedfast for 8 years and was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, now makes you whole. Get up and make your bed. And immediately Aeneas stood up. Then all the inhabitants of Lydda and the plain of Sharon saw what had happened to him, and they turned to the Lord. So it was an immediate response on Aeneas' part, just as it was with the paralyzed man, Bartimaeus. Immediately they obeyed what they were told to do. So can you see here that Peter didn't go out and lay hands on him? He simply made a declaration and gave an order to Aeneas. And instantly he was healed. Aeneas took what was offered to him and immediately acted on it. So we in turn are to do the exact same thing. Remember, the power of God is always present. It's always there. Have the switch of faith turned on. The source and the power of healing, of course, is Jesus Christ. I am not the healer. I can lay hands on the sick, but I am not the healer. Okay, Jesus is. The power was present to heal Bartimaeus, the paralyzed man lowered from the roof when nobody else got healed. The woman with the issue of blood, she approached Jesus because she had heard about him, and there was other people that had thronged him, but she was the one that got healed, and Aeneas and many others. So God was the healer in the Old Testament. He was the healer in the Gospels, the healer in the book of Acts, and he's still the healer today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that from Hebrews 13:8. So you and I are containers of the Holy Spirit, and we have the anointing in us to heal today. Once the healing power is administered to people, those we pray for, they need to act on the word, and they need to do something they couldn't do before. All right? A couple points I just want to point out here about healing, and specifically if you need healing, all right, or you're helping someone else in receiving healing. You must believe that God wants you healed. It's got to be settled. It's got to be settled from the word of God that God wants you healed. Many people are still grappling with that. Many of them were taught from different denominations healing was done away with. That's not true. Jesus heals today, and he wants you healed. Get it settled. You must obey what the word of God says about healing. And you must obey the vessel that God uses to bring the healing to you. You must obey. Consistently speak what you believe, because our words and our believing are connected. Consistently speak what you believe. When we really believe something in our hearts, that is what we'll talk about. Not talk about the negative or the symptoms that are not disappearing. And if the Holy Spirit gives you a scripture to specifically focus on in your situation, speak and meditate on it as often as you can. If the Holy Spirit tells you something to do or not to do, obey. He may tell you to do certain things, and he may tell you to stop doing certain things. Amen? If you notice, Peter never laid hands on Aeneas, but he made a declaration and gave him something to do. God has already made provision for you to be healed, but you need to activate God's power by your actions and your words. And you must activate the power of God in your life and let it drive out sickness and disease. We are to walk in divine health daily. We should be a group of people that the world looks at and is jealous about because they see us healed and whole. We should make the world jealous because we walk in divine health. So you may say to yourself, well, how do I activate God's power? First of all, Feed your faith. Feed your faith by staying in the Word of God. We know from Joshua 1:8, we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Feed your faith. Keep the switch of faith turned on all the time. That's one of the things, activate your power. When you pray and receive your healing, immediately do something you couldn't do. Sometimes we feel like there's a wall or a barricade that's stopping us from getting to where we want to go. Push through. Push through. Don't let it hinder you from getting what belongs to you. And don't give up. Get in the face of the devil if you have to, and let him know that you are not going to tolerate his deception. You have to let him know you are not going to tolerate his deception. You are not going to tolerate him being in your body. He's trespassing, and he cannot and will not steal your healing from you. He lost. Sometimes you have to get in a kind of, you have to get angry with him. And there was a time when I needed to deal with the enemy. And if I did it in my own home, my neighbors would have called the cops and said, there's something strange going on around here. So I got in the car. And I knew if I got in my car and drove around, nobody would be concerned that I was yelling and screaming at the devil. And that's what I did. You may have to do that. Just don't give up. Stay encouraged. That healing belongs to you. It's your covenant right. You can also activate God's power by your words. On a regular basis, you can declare by faith, healing is mine and I have it now. Healing is mine, I have it now. Don't give up. It's what God wants for you. It's what price Jesus Christ paid for you to have is healing. It belongs to you. So I hope this message has given you some encouragement. If you're somebody that's been dealing with illness for a long time, you continue to believe, you speak, you activate your faith, and you activate the power, that same power that's in you, that anointing power, with your faith, and experience your healing in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, before we conclude tonight, I would like to pray this prayer of salvation with anyone who may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We always make sure that we give people an opportunity. If you're tuning in and listening, and maybe it's your first time that you've watched this message tonight, and you aren't sure if you died tonight in your sleep, whether you'd go to heaven or not. And we'd like to make sure that you could know for sure, because healing is a gift, so is salvation. Actually, healing is just one part of your salvation, the whole picture. So if you just say this and repeat these words after me, you will experience salvation. Just say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, he died, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. And thank you for providing me eternal life. If you prayed that simple prayer, please contact us by email, by mail, or by phone, because we have some free information we'd like to give you so that you can get started in the right direction with your spiritual walk with the Lord. We invite you to come to church, and it doesn't have to be this church, but I encourage you to get established in a church where the Word of God is taught. It is important for us to be fed spiritually on a regular basis. Feed your faith. Make sure that you grow spiritually, and you need a good church where that can be done. So thank you, and God bless you for that. And like I said, be in touch with us.